All right, so we're in Galatians chapter 6, and as some of you know, I have several children. And a good dad teaches his children how to ride a bicycle, right? I mean, you see that on every television program. Some neglectful, busy father finally finds time to help his children with the practical skill, and it's always a baseball or a bike, right? Well, by that standard, I'm a pretty bad dad. Most of my children were taught to ride bicycles by their siblings. Right? Yeah. However, I have been involved with a few of them getting their first wheels, and the experiences were memorable. My hand on the bicycle, my hand on the child, running alongside as they get used to balancing and pedaling at the same time. And at first, my hand would not leave their backs. When they lost their balance, I could steady them or I could slow them down if I felt they were going too fast and whatever I could do to keep them from a fall. But before long, they would propel themselves faster than I can run. And that's happening faster and faster these days. Inevitably, when they got out of my reach the first few times, they would crash, right? Sometimes it would happen right away, as soon as my hand went off their back. And other times it would happen further along. By that point, all I could do is just watch helplessly as they veered off of the road and down into the ditch. At that point, I had some options, right? I could laugh at them, which is in my nature. And sometimes it was quite funny. I could panic. And there was reason to do that on occasion because some of their falls were dramatic. Over the curb, down into the ditch, legs and arms sprawling in the air. I could also berate them, right? Criticize and scold them harshly because usually they crashed because they weren't listening to what I told them to do. They weren't following the instructions I gave them. Or what I did, what we can do is to come along, brush off their knees, give a hug, some encouragement, and get them rolling again. We've been talking here as a church about the implications of love inside the body of Christ. How do Christians share our life together in Jesus? What does love feel toward each other and say to one another and do for each other? We've learned about the humility of Jesus and our imitation of Him in our lives together. We've seen the importance of mutual encouragement. We've been encouraged to serve together, to serve one another in humility, and maybe more importantly, to be willing to be served when we have a need. We've studied the way that the body of Christ works when all the gifts are functioning together, and each of us is performing ministry, and how we each mature in the process as we do that together. That's how the body works. And then last week, we learned about how the new life in Christ requires new speech toward one another and a willingness to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Right? Well, today we'll see how to love one another when we fall off our bicycles. Or rather, when our spiritual life veers off into a ditch. So if you have a Bible with you, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And we'll see about the bearing of burdens together. As we turn there, let me ask for the Lord's help. Lord, as we look into your inspired word, I pray that you would fill our hearts with the desire and love for you. The greatest command, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul, mind, and strength. So it's going to require a total self-response to your word if we love you. We ask for that. And then I also ask for the second command to be expressed in our church, that we would love one another. We would love one another thoroughly, sincerely, from a pure heart. We would love one another as we love ourselves. We would love one another as Christ has loved us. And so, Lord, we ask for help in that. And I ask you to guard my lips from speaking anything but your truth, and guard these ears from hearing anything but your truth. By your Spirit, lead us forward, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you may know, we've been studying the book of Galatians in Manor Hamilton now for a few months. And we have a great little group there coming together on Tuesday nights to reflect on the Word of God. And this is the passage we were in this week. After all these months of study, to get to this passage at the same week I wanted to speak it to you is amazing. It's the Lord. And so you were hearing this similar message to what we studied together as a group on Tuesday. Continue praying for that group, and thank you for your prayers for us. We are carried along by the prayers of God's people as we work there in Leitrim. If you are familiar with the book of Galatians, you know that in Galatians chapter 5, there's great emphasis on life in the Spirit of God, right? You've been set free from the law. You've been set free from guilt. You've been set free to live under the new covenant of grace. And if that's true, then because of his love living in us and the Spirit of God guiding, directing us, changing us, then the fruit of God's Spirit begins to grow in the life of every believer, and we can keep in step with him. That's the new covenant. That's the new rule. And so we are ruled by the law of love and by the Holy Spirit. And so after he explains that very clearly, we come to Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own works, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So in this passage, we see that life in the Spirit implies also life with one another. Right? That it's not just that you have been saved into a new life with Jesus on your own, but you've been saved into a community of believers. And as soon as believers start bumping into one another, we're going to find in the midst, sin. Sin that needs to be addressed. Sin that needs to be forgiven. We'll find Christians veering off the path into the ditch. And here in this passage, he says there's something that we can do about it. The word here in the first verse that says, brothers, if someone is caught in a transgression, someone's caught in a sin, that word does not connote being trapped like an animal in a snare that's helpless to escape. There are passages about that, about sin that has us caught and in bondage, ongoing bondage to a particular sin. But here the word means literally detected or surprised. So some have suggested that it's like a sin that ambushes us, that jumps out of the bushes and captures us as we're on our way living the Christian life. That's one possible way to read this. But I think that it implies a Christian who's been discovered committing a sin. Either it's been revealed to someone, or they've actually been caught in the sin. That surprise, that moment when there's an indulging in the flesh, like it says in Galatians 5:13, or a failure to live out the love ethic in the body in 5:14. Or an action that's clearly out of step with the Holy Spirit of God, like in Galatians 5:25. Anytime those are happening and another Christian notices that, that's what this situation is about. Perhaps in the situation, both are surprised. When a Christian is caught in a sin like that, who should help them? Do you see what it says there? If a brother or sister is caught in a sin, then you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual should restore such a one in love. Now it's tempting here, as we read this, that needs to be someone who is a mature saint, long in the Lord, well respected with the spiritual authority to speak wisdom into the life of the fallen. But according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, a spiritual person is any Christian who is in step with the Spirit. Because it's very easy for us as young believers or as new believers to see a sin and say right away, oh my goodness, this is for someone mature, or someone who's been in the Lord a long time. This is for someone else to deal with. It's very easy to pass it off to someone else if we think it has to be someone very old in the Lord. That's not what this means. This, the spiritual one in Galatians chapter 6 is anyone who's living by the Spirit. Right? Anyone who is in Christ has the Spirit of God. The Bible is very, very clear about that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, bluntly, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So there is no such thing as a Christian who has yet to get the Holy Spirit. No such thing. However, simply having the Spirit and being spiritual, like this verse describes, are slightly different. Because the spiritual person is growing in the Spirit. The spiritual person is producing fruit of the Spirit. The spiritual person is keeping in step with the Spirit, like we read in Galatians chapter 5. Well, if those things are happening, then however long you've been in the Lord, you are a spiritual person. I think of when Paul went on his first missionary journey, and he went to the end of the road, and then he went back to the same villages and towns where he'd been before, and he started to appoint elders. Months after he had been there, weeks maybe in some cases, he came back through and found people who were alive in the Spirit, growing in the fruit of the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, relatively new Christians, giving them roles to lead the church. They were spiritual people, even though they weren't a long time in the Lord. And if you are spiritual, if you are keeping in step with the Spirit, and you find a brother or sister in the Lord in sin, then you can play this role. Do you understand? It's not just for those with a title or those who've been Christians a long, long time. Think of the implications of that. It means that an old or a new Christian can be the spiritual one in this verse. It means, furthermore, that an old or new Christian can be the one caught in a sin. There's a great leveling that happens if we take this verse seriously. That means the layperson or the elder or the clergy can be the spiritual one, or the layperson, the elder, or the clergy can be the one in the ditch. In fact, I think you know this is true. All of us who follow Jesus will be in both positions eventually. We will be caught in sin, and we will have the chance to restore. Turn a little way back in your Bible to the book of James. As you go from Galatians toward the back of your Bible, you'll go through the T section and then the big book of Hebrews. If you come to Peter, you'll be too far. But in James, the last verses of James, the same idea is said in a different way. In James chapter 5, it says there in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So we have here again a recognition that there is going to be opportunity for sin, for confession, for healing. Do you see that? The Christians, all of us, need to get in the habit of admitting that we can be the Christian in the ditch. That we can be the one who's gone off the road. And also, we can be the one who hears the confession of that. You who are spiritual, go to someone like that in love. And restore them. See them healed In this case, even maybe physically healed, as James talks about. This idea of health, restoration, is an important part of catching someone in a sin. When a Christian is caught, or confesses, what attitude should the other person have? Should the spiritual one have? Did you see what it said there in Galatians? What attitude should they have? They should love. They should go to someone like that in love, and they should do it gently. Did you see that? So in love and gently. Well, we can't imagine, as God's people, living out the rule of love to one another, that it would ever be done in any other way, right? I mean, we've only ever been corrected in love, right? Wrong. Most of us have experienced what it's like when someone catches us in a sin and laughs at us. Or mocks us, right? Or maybe you've been corrected with someone scolding you or speaking harshly to you. Or someone who brings it up over and over again to hold it over your head and almost like a spiritual blackmail, right? We've all been through experiences like that. That is not what this passage is talking about. There's no place for that. If a brother or sister is caught in a sin, we should go to that one in love. And we should restore them gently. In Galatians chapter 5, it tells us that one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, right? So if we are acting in love and we are under the leadership of the Spirit, we're going to do this gently. There's no place for a rebuke that is harsh. There's no place for public shaming or blackmail or rejection. It's not opportunity for gloating or even a, serves you right, you should have listened to me. It is a moment to show the spiritual fruit of gentleness. It is an opportunity for us to love one another. And the goal? You should go to one to restore them. Right? It's to help a brother or sister, to dust them off, to heal up, and to get back on the road. The spiritual helper, under the direction of the Holy Spirit and full of the Spirit's fruit, restores the caught Christian to life in the Spirit. That's the goal. But you also notice there's a danger. A danger for that second person, right? It says, watch yourselves. You see that? Verse 2, just before verse 2. Keep watch of yourself, lest you also be tempted. Look down at verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So there's an inherent danger when we take on this ministry of bearing one another's burdens. When that happens, there's the possibility that we could fall into that same kind of sin. Verses 3 and 4 say, pride could take the spiritual one off track. Because that same sin could entice them. This has often been the case in counseling or with accountability groups, right? A word of correction is given by a brother or sister who might be tempted into the same sin, and often is. So this calls for humility. If we're going to be a part of this, we need to be humble enough to recognize that we ourselves are not above sinning. We're not above this, even this particular sin. To think otherwise, Galatians says, is self-deception, right? Don't deceive yourselves. And he says also, don't measure yourselves against others. You'll always find someone worse off than you, right? Someone who's not as far along on their spiritual journey, someone who's currently in more spiritual trouble than you, someone who's caught at the moment. Those people are not the standard for our measurement. The standard is love. The standard is love. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about how when we look in the mirror of the law that gives perfect liberty, right? We're looking into love. What does the love of God look like, and do I look like that? That's the standard. The standard is keeping in step with the Spirit as He moves us toward the character of Jesus. The standard is what we looked at that first week when it says your attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus. Remember? In Philippians chapter 2. So we test our actions against that. And when we do, When we measure against God's love, God's Spirit, and God the Son living among us, we have to be humble. That's the only right response. The only right response is for us to say, as we test ourselves, brother, I love you. I love you because of what God's done in me. I love you because of how He's forgiven me. Brother, I want you to walk with Jesus. Brother, I want you to be healed and restored. I want you to experience the Spirit again. But I am just as susceptible as you. This is just as dangerous to me. Let's walk together. That standard is love. This ministry of confrontation and restoration, it calls for caution, verse 2, and humility, verse 3. The goal is two Christians walking together in Jesus, not two Christians stuck in a hedge. In this way, we'll help each other, bear each other's burdens, carry one another's burdens. And when we do, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now you tell me, you should know by now, what is the law of Christ?
Love.
Yes, absolutely. It says so in verse 14 of chapter 5. And here in chapter 6, verse 2, we fulfill this law of love. The law of Christ is that simply love one another as I have loved you. It's the second greatest commandment, the new commandment, the law that gives liberty. It's love. And this recognition, this restoration of is a ministry of love. Bearing one another's burdens is a ministry of love. I want you to think about it. If you love someone and you see them struggling under the weight, do you stand off to the side with your arms crossed, clucking your tongue and saying, ah, that's a lot to carry? Or do you put your shoulder under it and give them a hand? Right? The ministry of love motivates us to help them. And the word for burden there in Galatians chapter 6 is of a heavy weight carried over a great distance. It's not the swift feet of a weightlifter who snaps it to his shoulder and pushes it above his head and drops it to the ground. This is a long-term weight that someone has to carry. It's like an oppressively heavy rock carried for miles on a winding uphill trek. Our long-term burdens can be practical needs like health challenges or difficult relationships or financial shortages. But in this context, our long-term burden is sin. And it might be a specific sin that you're caught in that you fall to repeatedly. Moral failure. And you need a brother or sister to come alongside, see the heavyweight, and help you. This implies, too, that the process of restoration can take some time, right? This, the way that it's spoken of here is to carry a long weight over time. So to really restore someone from an event like this, it could take a while. Whatever the burden, we must recognize that instant deliverance is not always God's plan. The deliverance described here is slow and steady teamwork, where a brother or sister helps us with this over a long time. It's the gradual transformation of a fleshly Christian into a spiritual disciple with the continual restorative input of both parties. Let's read again in verse 4. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Right? We're not comparing to them or to anyone else. We're just testing our own work. And then it says in verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. And you say, now wait a minute. Didn't we say that we're to carry one another's burdens? And here in verse 5, it says we're to carry our own load. What? Is this a contradiction? Well, how can we carry one another's burdens but still shoulder our own load? Most versions use two different words here. Like in the New International, it says burden and load. So does the English Standard Version that we use here at the church. If you have a King James, that's the only one that uses burden for both words. But in Greek, they are a different word. The Greek words are different because the one means an oppressively heavy weight carried over time. And the other one is the word used for a barrel or a box that's moved from the cargo of the ship to the dock. Something you might throw on your shoulder for a few minutes' time and then set it down again. The Greek words are different because not every weight that we have to lift is oppressive. Some of it's just daily Christian strain. Some weight bearing is helpful, isn't it? Do any of you lift weights? Do any of you work out? You do some? Yeah. Why do you choose to do that? Why did you choose to do that? To make you healthier and stronger, exactly. That's right. Is that what you would say too? To build bone strength? Yeah. Yeah. So not all weight lifting is hard or is bad for us. Oppressive weight over time we need help with. But some weights we need to lift to get stronger, to get healthier. That's why some people pay good money to belong to a gym. They want to bear a load. It makes them stronger. Some loads will build our muscles and increase our stamina. The kind of load mentioned here is like that. It's a temporary load, a box or a barrel that's being unloaded from a ship. It's only for a little while and it makes us stronger. And what if I had never taken my hand off of my child's bicycle? What if I never let them go faster than I could run? What if I always provided the stabilization? I always kept them upright. What if I never let go? Well, they would become dependent on me for their balance. They would let me propel them down the road. They would let me keep them out of the ditch. And by doing that, they would become inattentive and unmotivated and presumptuous. They would never learn to ride a bicycle. And I would have failed as their helper. Listen, we need one another to bear each other's burdens, especially the oppressive ones that we're carrying over a long time. The sin that we get caught in, that's bigger than us, the sin that we can't do anything about. We need help of a brother or sister to come alongside and to bear those burdens. But we also need to take responsibility for the temporary loads that we're all called to bear. For the Christian to depend on others to carry all their loads for them would permanently stunt their maturity. It would keep them from growing up in Jesus. The steady exercise of lifting and serving, of humble self-examination, these are the things that are necessary for all of us to grow. So do you see that because we love one another, we encourage one another? Do you see that because we love one another, we serve one another? Because we love one another, we forgive like we've been forgiven? And because we love one another, we bear each other's burdens and help one another to overcome the strain, the stress, the weight of ongoing sin. We can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this scripture and a reminder that my spiritual life requires interaction and love from others. For me to grow up, to grow strong, to live into the freedom that you called me to, I need someone to come along from time to time and say, Matthew, this is sin. Matthew, let me help you. Let's carry this burden together. Give us courage, I pray, to have those conversations when they need to happen. And give us humility, I pray, to receive those words graciously when they come to us. Help us to be the sort of local body of believers that can talk about these things together and can willingly, side by side, share these burdens. Thank you too, Lord, for the daily strains, the stress and the responsibility that each of us carry as we walk with you on our own. And I thank you that in that you use those things to test us and strengthen us over time. Thank you that as we lean into you and are filled with your Spirit, then we can live these principles out together in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was asked if we could close with a song number 52. And I think we will. So if you have the Missions Praise Book, turn to number 52 and let's sing this together.